You're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast and on your 3CR, and we've got Maddox Gifford in the studio. That's exciting in itself, Maddox.
Yeah, and I do much better in person.
Yeah,
nice well, to see a face.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to you about the counter conference for IMUC and why it's important for people to stand up and fight back when it comes to extractivist industries. I mean, we saw IMUC here in Melbourne several times where people stood the ground, and last time it was actually quite violent.
Yes, it did get quite they weren't expecting a proper blockade, that's for sure. In previous years, it had been quite a small demonstration, I think, you know, 30, 50 people, maybe 100, and nothing like the tactics that we tried to put into place in 2019. I was present at the 2019 protest, and I can say for sure that once we actually started accomplishing something, once we were actually disrupting, yeah, the response to that was quite violent and quite brutal.
Yeah, yeah. And what we're talking about is where representatives of over 800 mining companies from all over the world, including companies like BHP, Whitehaven and Shell, are meeting together to sort of plot out their future in destroying the planet, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You get a massive conference hall, you pack it full of suits, and they just sort of get down to the brass tacks of carving up the pie. They negotiate, they decide where exactly they want to go next, they decide how they're going to sell it, essentially. They decide a lot of things there, so that's why it's really important to disrupt it.
So what's been happening in Sydney?
So obviously I'm not in Sydney right now. I'm in Nam, but from my understanding, there has been a group of activists, a small group, but a group of activists have met up outside the front of the convention centre. There are, I think, 30 activists and something like 600 cops there. They've definitely prepared this year. But yeah, mostly they've just been talking and they've been working towards the future. They're trying to build something for the future, because if IMUC does stay in Sydney, in so-called Sydney, for the foreseeable future, then we are going to need those connections there on the ground. And that's what we've been doing as well here. We've been trying to make those connections with activists down there. It's up there. It's quite difficult in Sydney, especially with the new protest laws in place. And that definitely seems to be one contributor for why they've moved the conference there.
Yeah, okay. But it's also interesting about Sydney. It always strikes me. What is Sydney's real name then?
I don't actually know. I'm from just up the way, actually, in Newcastle. So that's a Awabakal and Worimi land. To be honest, I never spent that much time in Sydney. In my experience, a lot of the people there are quite hostile, quite rich. It's the kind of area where I think it makes sense that they're holding IMUC there now, because that is where those kinds of people flock. It's important to get people there, because there's not the biggest grassroots movement there right now, and that's what we're trying to build.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing about Sydney is its terrain is difficult too. One of the things about Melbourne is that it's flattish. And it's possible to, but with all the new tunnels that they've got, it breaks it all up into these almost like boutons, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a unique experience being in Sydney. I was there somewhat recently on a bit of a road trip, and they've got their work cut out for them for sure, but I'm really hopeful about the conversations that are being had and the connections that are being made.
Can you tell me about the movement that has targeted IMUC and why it's so important that that is a focus?
So essentially, this is the biggest mining conference in the world. And an average of, I think in 2019, the expectation was roughly 7,000 people in attendance, and dozens of mining corporations, including the biggest in the world, including BHP, Oceana Gold, Exxon Shell, Rio Tinto, although they've had less of a presence this year, apparently. I think they're tucking their tails between their legs a little bit after the Juukan Gorge incident. But yeah, it's honestly our biggest chance to get all these people in one space. I mean, the reason they're coming together is so that they can hold those conversations. And like we said earlier, being in person is that there's just a different ability to communicate. So this is where they're
put a face.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like they're packing these rooms, they're packing these conference halls full of people, and they've got apparently many more stalls. I think 40% more area there now. So it is increasing in size. They're just sitting there like a leech and just bloating, and you just can't allow that to go unprotested or unacknowledged. At least you can't just sit there and allow it to take place. So even though this year we haven't been able to put together a proper blockade, a really big protest, the likes of 2019, which had such a harsh police response, it's just really important to have a presence, and that's what I'm really grateful and really glad that crew up in so-called Sydney are doing.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too, because it's interesting because there's this sort of ongoing greenwashing going on in the public sphere, but behind the scenes it's like business as usual. And at the same time as IMAC is going on in Sydney, actually they've just opened COP27 in Egypt, which is a fascinating sort of correlation, isn't it? Business as usual.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's... It feels quite obvious to me. Maybe it isn't to everyone, but I think it very much is bare minimum lip service. And I think that they know that we know. That's been my impression for quite some time. I think that these companies, these corporations, they're well aware that people aren't actually buying into the propaganda, into the greenwashing. You see these ads. There's I think it's a BHP ad. They've got inspirational music going. I'm thinking of one in particular. They've got all these young workers in outfits and all the coal trucks going by, and they're making it like this big sort of community thing. They're really trying to sell that community aspect and trying to claim that we need them for the future. We need them for future renewables and sustainables. And it feels quite obvious to me what they're trying to do, but I don't know. I don't know if they think they're pulling it off, but I'm here to say that see right through it.
Well, in 2019, I was there. I wasn't there on the day that there was the big ambush, basically, but I had to work, which was funny because I missed that. But I did. I was there for the other days, and I was covering it. And there was a middle-aged man, white man, came barreling down the stairs, and he did this quotable quote. He said, "Oh, you stupid people!" Something I'm paraphrasing. "You stupid people! You don't you realize that we need these people for our future? You know, like that you're just antiquated. That you haven't got any idea about reality." Which is
reality.
A bizarre, which is a bizarre, he genuinely believed that. It was quite clear that he believed that extractivism, role of science in saving the day when it comes to a destruction environment, that was the reality. Wow. And that the reality of the demonstrators was just hippie nonsense.
Fascinating. I guess some people are taken in. I mean, I can't necessarily blame them. These companies sink so much money into PR, into trying to sell that narrative, and that narrative is absolutely now shifting towards greenwashing narrative. They've realized that they can't get away for very much longer with the old school we'll take what we want and we'll do what we like attitude. And so what they're doing now is they're reshaping, they're shifting the narrative that they present to the rest of the world. But as you said, indoors, I mean, there's slight lip service, sure, but it very much is business as usual. We'll claim to be trying to move forward to a better future, but that it doesn't mean anything when they say that. It very much, the second that interferes with profit margins, the second that interferes with exponential growth, right out the window.
And yesterday was the last day of IMAX Sydney. And the process needs to build. You're aiming for building the movement. So what's the next step?
The next step, honestly, is talking to people, is talking to activists. It's engaging with different groups and really just trying to raise awareness and get the information out there. There are within the Blockade IMARC Alliance, there are dozens of different groups that just work together and try and make something happen. So it absolutely is. If you're part of any group that would be interested, reach out. There's a website. We are on social media. There's ways to get in touch, and there's ways for everyone to help. If you don't want to, you know, be on the ground and get a limb broken by a police force, which did happen in 2019 to a young Chilean activist. If that's not where your skill set lies, then that's absolutely fine. You can help in other ways. There's always something to do. So really what we want is for people to expand their skill set and bring what skills they have to the table and just do what we can. Like, any ideas, please.
Well, you know, one of the most impressive things about the 2019 was the fact that elders from parts of Australia, so-called Australia, have came. They came with to voice their horror, really, at their ancestral lands being devastated by mining. And it was so moving, actually, that they came. And also, they were moved by the fact that there were people there standing with them calling for change.
Those are absolutely the most important connections to make. The people who are most impacted, the people on the front lines in that way. And I was there on that first day, the day before the actual protest kicked off, and there were some lovely ceremonies, there were some lovely conversations, there was just so much joy, I guess. There's a lot of misery and sort of depression and existential angst around climate activism in particular, because of how wide ranging and devastating it is, and how we all know exactly where it's going to lead. But there's still joy in that moment. There's that ability to connect to other people and that hope, I guess. You can't really lose that. If you lose that, what are you fighting for?
Thanks, Maddox. Is there anything else you want to say?
I guess I just want to thank everyone who's put time and effort into these protests. Everyone who's even just thought about it and talked about it to people, because this is about you. It's the grassroots activism is really what matters right now. And I also would like to give a shout out to LASNET, the Latin America Solidarity Network, who were really involved in the counter conference, who brought speakers over, particularly from Chile, where there's people being brutalized and intimidated by police for mining every day. So I really want to thank them. You can see live streams of the counter conference on their Facebook page, I think. There's a lot of really amazing information in there, much more than I can get across in a short interview. And I just want to say stay strong to everyone who's impacted on those front lines, and just thank you so much for everyone putting their time and effort into this, because it is important.
Thanks, Maddox.
Thank you.